Okay, so we've seen a little bit about Zrizin Makdim in the mitzvot, and we've seen some of the various indications as to what kind of a role it plays in mitzvot, whether it is crucial or not, and whether it defines a mitzvah in a fundamental way, or maybe it's an external midah that represents us, how we relate to mitzvot. And we talked about whether it is a hiddur or whether it is a way of making sure the mitzvah doesn't get lost, which happens to connect thematically with the concept of Vidikas Hametz as an additional connection. And when we last left off, having put all that in a context, so we were talking about the trade-off between different values and what if you have a conflict between Zrizus and some other hiddur, if you wait, you'll have an opportunity to do the mitzvah better. Or what about, for example, Barovam Hadras Melech, which is a trade-off the Gemara considers in the context of Shofar, and also in the context of Hallel, that Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Lamed Beis. And we left off talking about Bris Milah, where Bris Milah, we find that it reflects some of the subtleties here, because on the one hand, we emphasize Zrizus, and could also be because there are additional sources for Zrizus within Bris Milah. But Brisin are generally held in the morning, and it affects Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, as we saw, because the explanation of the Shavuos Yaakov as to why it's one day of the year, we don't wait till after Musaf, if there's a Musaf, but rather we do the bris in conjunction with Tkiyas Shofar, segue these two topics, and that also highlights the fact that Bris Milah has this imperative of Zrizus. So we don't necessarily give something like Barovam Hadras Melech as much of a voice, while with Pidgin HaBen, we give it a more of a voice, and the Pidgin HaBen is often held in the afternoon, in order, as some explain, to allow for more of a crowd. And we pointed to the math there that the risk of losing the mitzvah when it comes to Bris Milah is greater, because the eighth day is the Zman. If it gets dark, if the mole gets stuck in traffic, you lose that mitzvah. While Pidgin HaBen is not so vulnerable. Pidgin HaBen is not tied down to a specific time. It's Mi Ben Chodesh Tipodeh. If it's not today, okay, tomorrow is still relatively early in the lifespan. It doesn't have the same vulnerability, so it's more about Zrizus as a hither. And Zrizus is a hither, so then maybe that's not going to rank as much against something like Barova. And then we noted that when it comes to Bris, it's still not absolute, because we don't only look to Zrizus, we do compromise a little bit. And that a bris is usually not the first minute of the day. It's usually not right after Vasikin Minyan. And we usually give a little bit of time to allow for people to get there. And we mentioned Rav Sternbach's tshuva that he noted that by Avraham Avinu, so we have the bris taking place b'tzumo shel yom in the middle of the day, presumably because he wanted to publicize it. And so we find at that earliest bris, we find this trade-off. So there is some degree of a trade-off between Zrizus and Barovam, even in the context of a bris. And just to add one thought to that, to continue that point, there's a fine Talmud Chacham in Brooklyn, his Rebbe in Tar Vadas, by the name of Rabbi Shlomo Cinnamon Shlita. He has a beautiful svarim. He has a sefer on Chumash called Eish Tamid, and in his Sefer on Parshas Lech Lecha. So he talks about the question of why did Avram wait in the middle of the day. Remember, Avram is our source for Zrizus one way or another. So why was his bris taking place in the middle of the day? So there he also suggests that maybe by bris you have built into it an aspect of Kiddush Hashem and it being a public statement. And therefore we find the notion of a minyan affecting how brachos are recited in a bris. So the idea that a bris milah has a public audience it's not only because of the general value of Barovam, but a part of the mitzvah is that it should be, maybe even especially in Avram's case, it should be a public Kiddush Hashem, and therefore it's more than a hiddur, and that also translates to a contemporary bris as well, to some degree, even though there's also what to figure out, as he notes, is Avram's bris considered to be a Mila Bismana or a Shalom Bismana, which is, if he also affects the math here a little bit. But the idea that Avram was looking davka for a Kiddush Hashem through this experience is something which seems to go to the essence of the mitzvah, and that, even though we're different than Avram's bris, but still that aspect is probably incorporated into our mitzvah of bris milah also. So that means that bris milah has a particularly charged calculation here, because it does have publicity as part of its value, but it also has rizus as a part of its value. And that also highlights how complex some of these trade-offs are, and how some of the variables in figuring out what exactly is the best approach all draw on some of these factors. Okay, so far so good? Makes sense? So now, just to separate out the various terms and what they might refer to. So if we were to focus on some of the usages of Zrizin Makdim and the mitzvot, and Shihuye mitzvah Sloma Shahinan, and Chaviva mitzvah B'shaita, and Emavir Nahla mitzvot, so do they point to different aspects? So they likely do. And Rav Asher Weiss, for example, in his essays on Bereishis and Parshas Vayera, so he suggests the following breakdown. That is Rizus, he writes, that is a hiddur. That is something that we do in order to show enthusiasm for the mitzvah. That's reflective of our attitude. That's what Zrizus is supposed to be. Shihuye mitzvah lo mishahinan. So that refers to a delay that could cause the mitzvah to get lost. So we don't want to let that happen. And we want to make sure to grab on to the situation while we can. So just to expand on that a little bit, it's presumably in that context that the Trumas Hadeshin, for example, when he wrote that you shouldn't worry so much if it's a minor delay, if something is just going to be a little bit of a wait for a better circumstance, we don't worry about that. So presumably that's coming from the Shihuye Mitzvah Lo Mishahinan perspective, that we don't want to risk a mitzvah getting lost. And if the risk is moderate, if the risk is not significant, so then it's not going to play as big of a role. And it's interesting also, I didn't put this on your Makaros list as far as just to see all of the sources for each one, because there's so many, but the Gemara later on in Yevamos, the Gemara uses that in the context of Geirus. And we were talking about Geirus in the summer. I think Levi was with us for that. But we talked about the question of, is there a mitzvah of Geirus? Is there a mitzvah to be Mekabel Geirim? Is there a mitzvah for a Geir to convert when he's ready? So the Gemara later on in Yevamos, the Gemara says that we go through the process of examining the candidate. And when it's clear that he is an appropriate candidate, so then we go right to the process, Shihuye mitzvah lo mishahinan. So there you find it as well. And it's interesting to consider what the thrust there is, that if we understand Shihuye mitzvah as a concern that the mitzvah will get lost, if that's what it means in that context, so maybe it means that we have to chop the person when he's ready. We have to make sure that the enthusiasm doesn't dim. But that's worth considering if that's really the way we treat Geirus, because Geirus also involves the process to make sure that the individual is fully committed. And we do push them off a few times, the Gemara says. So that idea that Shihuye Mitzvos is about not letting the situation get lost, so it's interesting to reflect. It sounds like maybe that's what's going in that Gemara. Okay, if this guy's ready and here and he wants to convert, so then let's not delay. But at the same time, it's the same Gemara that we also do push him off to make sure that the commitment is solid and to make sure that it's somebody who is an appropriate candidate. So that's something to reflect upon, exactly how the various usages fit in. So that's as far as Shuhiyeh Mitzvah Lom Shahina. What does Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita mean? So that means that a mitzvah is done most appropriately at its main time and not at a tashlumen time. And so if we're ranking what we're going to do between two things, and one mitzvah will have still the possibility of happening in its time and not be pushed off to a tashlumen time, so we want to do the mitzvah at the time when it's still its main slot. That's Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita, which also, if you think about it, so it also has the inverse meaning to it, that a mitzvah that is particularly in its proper time is preferred over another mitzvah that doesn't have a timely component to it. So we say Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita, the mitzvah that fits in its time, is considered to be preferred to something that doesn't have that slot. Sam?
How do you like address what is considered to be more of a shaita? Like, for example, the case that we had, it was Tosfos Megillah on Gimel, maybe,
mm-hmm.
about the Hevdech HaBlam Ve'Egarim.
Yeah.
Shabbos, so like, Shabbos is most definitely a shaita. And from the fact that Hevdech HaBlam Ve'Egarim all night, why is the shaita limited to only the beginning if you're not saying that?
Yeah, it's an interesting question whether that fits this model or not, because there, from the Sugi also, it fits more of a Zrizus kind of model, really. Right? You say that the whole Zman is, the Zman is all night, even though really the Zman is before, which gets into some of the question of why we daven Ma'ariv when we do, because Ma'ariv is patterned after the Hektech Lov and Beivar. So it would seem like it's a question of, is it a question of getting it in the best time compared to other times, or is it a question of getting it within the earliest point within its range? So which would Hektech Chalav Ve'Evarim fit into? So, see, right? You would think the range, although really, Meikar HaDin, oh, I see, I have to admit people, Meikar HaDin, a cumbersome system that's admitting people, that really Meikar HaDin, it's really supposed to be done before, which is part of why Ma'ariv gets a little interesting, because Ma'ariv is patterned after Hektech Chalav Ve'Evarim, so really you can burn the Hektech Chalav Ve'Evarim all night, but it's not really the Iker Zman.
Yeah, but even though the Iker, that doesn't make the beginning of after Shia the Iker Zman also, it should burn before that.
Right, that's the thing. So you would say, therefore, the real Shaita is probably before Shia.
Right, and once we're not doing that, then all the more so, okay, so we have all night. So once we're already not in the B'Shaita, then why would we say that now it's B'Shaita after Shkia when it's not?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's a good question whether it really fits that model. And then maybe it's coming more from a Zrizus aspect. And the fact that we daven Ma'ariv, we consider it a B'di'evet to daven Ma'ariv before Shkia, or only following one view in the Gemara, when really, if it is patterned after Hektech Chalav Ve'Evarim, it should be L'Chatchila before. So it's some interesting mixture there of factors.
Could you suggest that maybe, like, even though the Zman was supposed to, I'm just throwing this out there, Zman was supposed to be before Shkia, once we kind of, like, from Makabel, that we do it at Shkia earliest, so then kind of, like, shifted it, which is why by Ma'ariv also, so we said that the Rishos would start after Shkia?
It's interesting. I don't know if there really Kalim really exists for that kind of a shift within the mitzvah. Especially Ma'ariv, there'd be more room, because Ma'ariv, the Gemara terms are Rishus. So, it's actually, you mean specifically about Ma'ariv, not about the Hektech Chalav Ve'Evarim.
I knew what I was saying, that from Ma'ariv, trying to apply to the Hektech Chalav Ve'Evarim. So, okay, so we say about Ma'ariv that once you're in a Kabbalah, you do it then, so it became, okay, so it's no longer Rishus, everyone has to do Ma'ariv now. So maybe also with the Rishus comes as Ma'ariv, to say that even though it could have been done earlier, once you're we're Mekabel to do it at this point in time, that's when the Chiyuv is now. We have the ability to transfer the Shas Mitzvah.
It would be interesting, but it happens to be the Rambam also specifically says the Rambam has unusual applications of Tfilas Arvis Rishus, and one of them is that because it's a Rishus, Ein Medaktik in Bizmano. So So therefore, the fact that we have him before Shkia, he attributes to it being a Rishus. So it's interesting. I hear where you're coming from, that we should be able to define the parameters. But it's a question whether we actually see that playing out anyway. So here, just also to mention, when you talk about Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita, so what it would mean, for example, it could be related to go back to Meir for a second, go back to Tfilos. So we know that we have this concept of Tashlumin in Tfilah. And if you miss Shacharis, so you daven two minchas. And the first Tfilah is supposed to be the regular one. So when you say Tushman Esrei is a mincha, so the first one is for mincha, and the second one is for Shacharis. So the Svarim, Baruch HaShulchan, and the Kadjuk Lava Rav has writings about this. They talk about why that is. Why is it that the halacha requires that the main tefillah come first? And some explain it along the lines of something like Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita. So if you have to choose between two mitzvahs, what should come first? So there is a Chavivus to the mitzvah that is timely, as opposed to the mitzvah that is a makeup. The problem with that explanation in the context of Tashlumin, as Svarim also point out, is that it doesn't seem to be enough when it comes to that din, because regarding Tashlumin, it's ma'akev, that if you do it the other way around, it's no good. Now, it's a question what that means. Is it a context where there's some kind of display that you meant for it to be Shacharis first and then Mincha, or is it normally it's just the same Shemoneh Esrei twice, so how does anyone know that you're doing one for one and one for the other? So is it simply you have in mind that one should be Shacharis and one should be Mincha? Or is it only when there's some kind of simen that it was meant to be that way? But either way, it's a halacha that's taken very seriously. And it doesn't seem to be that you can explain it just based on Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita or something like that. But that's a whole discussion, how exactly that impacts that kind of a trade-off. So the tefillah that is bizmana is prioritized over the tefillah that is a tashlumin. And that was also one of the objections to the Dvar of Ram we said yesterday. So we mentioned yesterday that the Dvar of Ram says if you're responsible for two brisin, one is a baby on the eighth day, and one is a milah shelo bizmana, that you should prioritize the milah shelo bizmana, because that one, the clock is ticking, there's a chi of kares that is coming all the time, and the eighth day baby has all day, it's just rezus that is saying go earlier. And we also mentioned that there were many, many objections to the position of the Dvar of Ram, and among the objections is this logic that Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita, which is an expression also of the concept that in the Zman of the Mitzvah, it's considered to be more Mekudesh than other things. It's holier than other mitzvahs. So that's one of the systems of prioritizing. How do you know what mitzvah comes before another? So a mitzvah that is in its man is more Mekudesh than another mitzvah. So therefore, Bris Bizmana should presumably for that reason come before a Bris Shalom Bizmana. That was one of the many objections that was lobbied against the position of the Dvar of Ram. So that's perhaps a little bit about Chaviva Mitzvah V'Shaita. And Eima Virnala Mitzvah, as Rav Asher points out, is essentially not really about speed, but it is a general principle that you don't pass over, as the word literally convey, you don't sidestep a mitzvah if you have some other reason why you think you want to do something else, some other mitzvah, you don't sidestep the mitzvah that's in front of you. And that's whether we're talking about the mitzvah itself or whether we're talking about the ideal time or place for it. Either way, we don't sidestep a mitzvah because there's some other goal, even some other mitzvah, that we are pursuing. So he gives that explanation and he suggests that it is maybe a reflection of a concept of bizui mitzvah, that it's not nice to a mitzvah, it's disgraceful to a mitzvah to set it aside in favor of something else. So I would expand on that a little bit by adding 2 points. One is, it's interesting, so we have Sukkot coming up, so hard to look beyond whatever is immediate, but we got Tzlichus and Hashanah Yom Kippur and Sukkot. So, and then Hashanah Rabbah. So on Hashanah Rabbah, so the Svarim say that when you slam the Aravos into the ground, so then you should be careful afterwards. You shouldn't walk on top of them. Why? Ein ma'vir naha mitzvos. You don't step over the mitzvos. So you may say that sounds like a pun, right? That's a completely different translation of the word. But it's just interesting that if you do say ma'vir naha mitzvos is about bizoy mitzvos, so they could actually, both translations could share a theme, that it's about not disrespecting a mitzvah, either by physically passing over it, or even just by conceptually passing over it, by ignoring it and going on to another mitzvah. When this mitzvah is in front of you, that could be considered a bizui mitzvah. But I would also add that if that's the understanding of Ein Ma'avir and Al HaMitzvos, so then it could be that this is maybe comparable to some of the explanations that we have for the concept of Osek B'mitzvah, Pasim in a mitzvah. It's also a big Sukkot topic. And it's the main source for the din of Osek mitzvah, patim and mitzvahs, and sugah, and in other places too. So the idea that if you're involved in one mitzvah, so you don't go and do another mitzvah, so all the Rishonim struggle with what the chiddush is. Because it seems obvious that you can't be in two places at once. And if it's impossible for you to do both mitzvahs, because they both require your attention, so then clearly you have to be pater. Onus rachmana patre. God forgives you for what you can't do. If it's not possible to be in two places at once, so that's the whole story. So the Rishonim assume there's got to be some other chiddush there, because that's too self-evident. So there's got to be more to it. So some say that it doesn't mean that you're excused for not being in two places at once. It means that even if you wanted to skip the first mitzvah and go to the second mitzvah, you can say, okay, I know I can't be in two places at once, but I want to choose the second opportunity. I want to leave this and go to that. So that you're not allowed to do either. It's not up to you. You are essentially putter from the second mitzvah, meaning you are excused in the more absolute sense. This is not for you. You have to stay with the first mitzvah. So that's the view of the Ritva and a few other Rishonim have. So the Rambam, in his Perish Mishnayos to Pirkei Avos, the Rambam invokes that phrase when he talks about the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says that Hizara b'mitzvah kala kibachamura, that you should have equal care for a small mitzvah, so to speak, just as you do for a chamur mitzvah. So what that means, many interpretations, but the Rambam over there says that it means Osek mitzvah, patur mitzvah. Don't say, okay, I'm involved in this small mitzvah, but that mitzvah looks better. I'm going to leave this and go to that. That's not appropriate. That's a bizoyim to the first mitzvah. So maybe that's also what a Ma'avir and all mitzvahs is suggesting, but if you have a mitzvah in front of you, and you're going to say, yeah, but that one looks better, so I'm going to go do that. So essentially it's the same logic as the Rambam invokes in that context of Osek B'mitzvah, Patim and Mitzvah. So that's one possible breakdown of the four concepts involved, of those four concepts. There are a few other phrases also. And it's not going to be unanimous. If you look through all the sources, you're not going to find everyone aligning up on the same page. And indeed, Rav Asher goes on to talk about that, about how some sources don't fit that model perfectly. But it's probably less significant than just understanding that they all combine to impact how these decisions are made, and some of the factors are going to be different than others, and they're going to be way differently. So even if the terminology may switch from one source to the other, but the basic idea that all of these are coming together to impact how we make time decisions, that we should act promptly, that we shouldn't allow an opportunity to get lost, that we should show enthusiasm, that we shouldn't disrespect the mitzvah we're involved in by looking to a different mitzvah and say that's where we'll go, and that a mitzvah that is in its proper time context has extra kedusha and is a more complete mitzvah experience, and that affects how it's prioritized. So all of that is true. the distinction that Zrizus is more of a hider and Shuhiyeh Mitzvahs is more about not letting the mitzvah get lost. So that you find in earlier sources also. Shlach Yaakov has that approach as well. And we mentioned how the Nodav Yehuda, I think on the first day, we mentioned that the Nodav Yehuda said about a bris shalom bezmana on Erev Pesach, that if you delay so long, the mitzvah could get lost, and there's reasons. So that's half of the equation. So those are some ways of formulating some of the breakdown in terms of the different usages here. Now, the Netziv, I would add, the Netziv has a complex statement in his Merome Sada to Psachim. And the Netziv, in general, I don't know how often you get a chance to look at the Netziv's commentary to Shas, but he has always has his own way of looking at things very interesting. So there, the way he delineates, he has a couple of points. He has in a very complex framework, but I'm just going to extract some of the main points that are relevant to us. So he understands it that the halacha of the Zrizin is about preparation for the mitzvah. In other words, it's really most about what happens before the mitzvah. And that when the mitzvah is in play, says that's about mitzvah habali adecha al tachmitzana. So the emach mitzana sa mitzvahs, which is really an additional phrasing, which the Mechilta had on the pasuk in Parshas Bo and directly puts it in a Pesach framework also. But that idea that we shouldn't let the mitzvah become chametz, so that's what's relevant once the mitzvah is actually in its man. And Zrizin specifically is talking about the attitude towards the hachana for a mitzvah. And in that context, so he also brings up his principle, his chiddush that he has in his commentary to the Shiltos, which we mentioned earlier in the Zman, and we'll come back to also, the idea of a hechsher mitzvah, haksuva v'kra. Right? So, and I think Sam brought up that that might be a framework for bedikas chametz. So here, the Netziv makes reference to that, here in Daf Dalet and Psachim. So the Netziv makes reference to that idea that there are acts that prepare for mitzvos, and that some of them are mentioned in Chumash and some of them aren't. And the notion of that hachana haksuva v'kra, as the phrase he uses here, might be applicable to bedikas chametz. That maybe if bedikas chametz is really there for tashbisu, and he understands Rashi, or really our Rashi and our Beis, as connecting it to tashbisu, even though Rashi uses the language of Vayira Bayimatze, but if you understand it as connected to Tashbisu, so then Bedikas Chametz is a hachana for that mitzvah, but it's all a part of that mitzvah. And therefore, the question of should Zrizus be relevant to that is going to be interwoven with that point. Is Zrizus something that applies even before the mitzvah is in play? Is it something that connects to a hachana? A hachana, especially if it's a hachana that's in the Torah, that's something that the Netziv considers in his comments over there to Psachim. So we also noted that the idea that Bedika has any kind of rules to it in terms of our attitude, in terms of how we do it, the idea that Bedika should have a concept of Zrizus, or that it should have, as some understood, a concept of mitzvah bo yosem yibishlucho, all of that is maybe surprising, because you could say that Bedika is just about not running into problems, literally. It's about not having the chametz in your house and causing you issues. So who cares what your attitude is, and who cares whether you do it with enthusiasm, whether you do it yourself, or whether you do it in a mohudr dika fashion. So you might think that that's not important. So all of this indicates that maybe not. Maybe that there is something mitzvah saseh related when it comes to tzedika, that the process of searching out for chametz is not just about preventing problems, but it's a part of the message of Pesach that we are actively involved in eliminating chametz, which also gets into that whole Yetzer Hara comparison and the like. And therefore, and the fact that we recite a bracha on the bedika and that we see it as an affirmative action is something to consider, and the role of Zrizus there also is relevant to that. And it also note that Rav Soloveitchik, in the Shiurim that Rav Schechter wrote up and released a few years ago, so there's one paragraph there from Rav Soloveitchik on this Gemara about Jesus. So there, he notes that this also impacts your understanding of Tashbisu. That if one assumes that Tashbisu happens at one specific time on Erev Pesach, which is something you're going to get up to soon, if Tashbisu is an active mitzvah to do something at a specific time, so then it's hard to see where Zrizus could play a role. Because Zrizus, as we understand, Zrizus doesn't mean that you set a mitzvah at an earlier time. No one would say that because of Zrizus you should blow shofar on Erev Rosh Hashanah. As you mentioned there, clearly the mitzvah is on Rosh Hashanah and there's no Zrizus to move it up. So in order to apply Zrizus to Tashbisu, if that's what the Gemara is doing, you'd have to assume that Tashbisu, in its time on Erev Pesach, is a passive mitzvah, meaning that when the time of Tashbisu comes, you should be chametzless. So the process of getting rid of it beforehand is the active mitzvah. And then, okay, we could talk about doing that earlier. But if Tashbisu means something has to be done at that time, then where Zrizus fits in is very hard to figure out. So all of this impacts on how we understand the whole concept of Bedikas Chametz and Tashbisu and their relation to each other, and how exactly Zrizus fits in this sugya is important beyond its relevance as a Shas sugya. Yes, this affects many other things, but it also is in our sugya very specifically and may reflect in ways that help us round out the whole picture. And just Alpi Hashkafa, so we should also note that clearly there is a lot between Zrizus and Pesach. It comes up in many different places, and the whole imagery of matzah and chipazon and not letting something become chametz, it's hard to deny that there is quite a lot that is embedded there. And the Sefer V'Darashta V'Chakarta, if you're familiar with that, is a Sefer drushes on Chumash, very elaborate drushes. So in one of his volumes on drushes and Parshat Tzav, so there we know Rashi quotes the idea that Tzav is Lashon Zirus. So he discusses there, Tzav also very often is Shabbos HaGadol, so it's the Shabbos before Pesach, many years. So the relationship between Zrizus and Pesach, so he examines there, and he focuses on the idea that if Zrizus reflects enthusiasm and excitement, and essentially love, right? So something that you have great passion and appreciation for, so you look to get to quickly. And that was how HaKadosh Baruch Hu treated us, that he took us out, the chipazon, that the whole galus and Geula, that the redemption from that galus was the chipazon. When the time was ready, then we went immediately without allowing the bread to rise. So too, it's reciprocal. So we have Zrizus built into the Yontif, and to the Seder night also, there are various imageries of Zrizus and time sensitivity overall. But all of that is reciprocal, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu treated us that way, and that's how we reflect back. And there's an additional perspective, I think I alluded to this the other day, but if you look at the first Maimer in the Pachet Yitzchak on Pesach, first essay that Rav Futner has on Pesach, so he also focuses on Eimach Mitzvah as on Mitzvos, on the idea that the Mitzvos are so sensitive to leavening, and that that's something that is taught to us in the context of Chametz. So there he formulates this idea that a part of the avodah of that time is to be above time, is to not let time control you, but you control time. And that also fits in very solidly to the whole theme of Yetzias Mitzrayim, because we know that a part of the idea of an Eved is that an Eved has no control over his time. And the Soloveitchik often gives an explanation that an Eved is Pater from Mitzvah Sasesha as Man Grama, which seems to connect to an Isha, and that's a difficult comparison. So he explained it different ways, that it's just an overlap, but that the exemption of an Eved from Mitzvah Sasesha as Man Grama is because an Eved has no conception of time. An Eved doesn't make a decision how to budget his hours. He just wakes up in the morning and is told what to do, and that's what he does. He doesn't have any control over his time framework. And being free, so that puts one in the opposite direction, and then it becomes important to take control over time. And the idea of Zrizus and Ein Machmisin Es HaMitzvos is essentially to beat time. It's essentially to say that time's not going to control me, I'm going to control time. I'm going to take the matzah out of the oven before it gets too long. I'm not going to let it leaven, so that's going to define how I relate to time. So the idea of Zrizus being so embedded, not just because it's Daftalat Imsachim, but because of so many other aspects, is we find it again and again. We could make a list of all the different ways in which it comes up within Pesach. But that's itself interesting. So there's a lot. And then if you want to take it further and consider the idea that Avram was visited by the Malachim on Pesach and was serving them matzahs, and there also is one of Parshas Vayera, as we said, the source for so many, all the different possibilities for Jesus, as Rav Asher emphasizes all in Parshas Vayera. So one of them is also in the context of Avram's treatment of the guests of the Malachim. So there, the language in Vayashkein, but you could say you could miss it, not one of the three times that it says Vayashkein, but it says Mahari, that he says, let's hurry up and let's take care of them. So that's also where there is a message of Zrizus and the idea that he was eating matzah then, that Chazal have also, and it was Pesach, and even though there's no Yetzias Mitzrayim to commemorate yet, all of that again brings these themes together. So a lot that this sugya brings towards the whole understanding of Pesach and Bedikas Chametz and so many other values in Shas, a very helpful and very valuable sugya. So let's just try to recap what we spoke about. Any questions? Everything clear, more or less? Everything makes sense? Okay, so let's just recap what we spoke about today. So we added on to say another word about the math when it comes to a bris milah. So the bris milah idea that we emphasize rizus and it's built into the mitzvah, and it seems to win out over Barovam, but not absolutely. So yesterday we quoted Rav Sternbach why Barovam is not a nothing when it comes to Bris Milah, and how Avraham Avinu was clearly trying to be Mefarsim it. So we added Rav Sinneman's approach that the idea of a Bris is tied into the notion of publicity, and that the Kiddush Hashem, and that we find that even in our contemporary Bris, it affects the halachas to have a minyan and the like. But certainly, especially with Avraham Avinu, and he was coming from that context, and there's a lot to consider about that. And then we talked about how the different concepts that we had been discussing, how they could break down if we're going to separate them out from each other, and we noted how Rav Asher explains it in his essays in Bereishis, that the reason Makdim LeMitzvos is a hider in the mitzvah, and how we do things about our enthusiasm. Shihuye Mitzvos Lo Meshahinan is about not letting the mitzvah get lost. And we noted how that's consistent with the Trumas Hadeshin, that if it's a minor delay, we're not necessarily worried about that. We noted how the Shlis Yaakov also understood it that way. We also added that it's interesting that the Gemara brings it up in the context specifically of Geirus, of proceeding with a Geirus once you've established that it's an appropriate candidate. And it's interesting how there's some conflicting attitudes there, because we also stalled him until we were sure he's ready, and then when he's ready, we're saying that's only more. It's interesting to consider how those play against each other. And then we talked about Chaviv and Mitzvah B'Shaita, how that is there to give extra chashivas to doing a mitzvah in its proper time. So that means don't go for the Tashlum in time, and it would also mean, as we noted, that the inverse is true, that a mitzvah that's B'Shaita is more Chaviv than a mitzvah that's not B'Shaita, and that impacts things maybe such as why when it comes to Tashlumin, why we prioritize the mincha that it is right now before the shachris that we're making up. But as the Sfarim also point out, that it doesn't seem to be enough of an explanation because halacha is too chomer in that case, that we find for whatever implications it has that it's ma'akev. So we have to see if that's enough of a way to explain it, but that's a part of that equation. And that Yom HaAvir and Ol HaMitzvos is about not passing over a mitzvah opportunity to go for another mitzvah that you might think is better, and he connected that to Bizui mitzvah. So we added to that, that's also interesting, it's the Bizui mitzvah, so the seemingly pun usage of Yom HaAvir and Ol HaMitzvos regarding the Aravos, so we shouldn't walk over them on Hoshanah Rabbah, may share a theme. They're both about Bizui Mitzvah in that sense. But also it could be paralleled to the Rambam's explanation in his commentary to the Mishnah of Osek Mitzvah Patamina Mitzvah, that you should be Zohir with a Mitzvah Kalak and Chamura. You shouldn't decide that, okay, I'm going to give up this Mitzvah that I'm involved in now for that better mitzvah, because that's a Bizui Mitzvah, and it's all part of being Mavir Nah Mitzvahs. And we noted that whatever terminology we use, and it's hard to necessarily guarantee that it's consistent in every source, but one way or another, these all come together to affect the decisions that are made regarding mitzvahs, and then we called attention to the Nitziv in his commentary to the Gemara and Daf Dalet and Rome Sada, where he makes a few points of note. One, that he sees Bedikas Chametz as possibly a hachana for the mitzvah of Teshvisu, and that Zrizus is something that is relevant to the hachana period, and once the mitzvah is actually in play, so then that's where Emach Mitzanef and Mitzvos comes in, that those are how they are delineated, and that was Soloveitchik and his shiurim noted that the invoking of Zrizus in this context would seem to affect how Teshvisu was understood, that if Teshvisu is pegged to a certain moment on Erev Pesach, so it's hard to see where there's any role for Zrizus. You don't make a mitzvah at an earlier time because of Zrizus, just like you don't blow shofar on Erev Rosh Hashanah. But if Tashbisu at a specific time means that it must be done by then, that you must enter into that moment in a state of non-chametz, so then there could be room for Zrizus allowing it before. And then, as mentioned, hashkafically, different approaches to why Zrizus is so embedded in Hilchos Pesachim and Maseches Pesachim, and the discussion of the Rashi of Chakarta, that it's Zrizus is an expression of love. God took us out with Zrizus, and we also celebrate Pesach with Zrizus as a reciprocity for that, and that's all a constant repeating theme within Pesach for that reason. And Rav Huttner's approach, where he talks about a machnis and a mitzvos and the like, and the idea of beating time, of not letting time take you, but you take time, and how that also is consistent with Soloveitchik's drushes on the idea of an eved being pater from mitzvah seisha as man grama, that an eved doesn't have any sense of time, doesn't have any control of time, and going into cheres means the opposite, means that you do take control of time, and therefore this notion of staying on top of the clock becomes a greater priority. So we have to stay on top of the clock also, so we have to allow for the Tuesday schedule. So we will stop here, but we're very enthusiastic and eager to talk about the shofar. So you have the makoros for that for tomorrow, and we'll check in and see you at 9. And God willing, that's on our agenda for tomorrow to try to understand that very important upcoming mitzvah. So I wish you all a wonderful day, and it should be only good things. Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, Chicago.